This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
God, we thank you for this time together. God of everything that is great, we just say thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and those things yet to come. Lord, have mercy on us. We know that we've not done all that you've called us to do. And for that, God, we're sorry. Give us another opportunity so that we can try to make things right. Father God, we pray today for those that are sick, mind, body, or spirit. They just need a healing. And sometimes medicine isn't enough. A healing that only you bring. Father, for those that are grieving today, give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. realize that they're never alone. For those that have specific needs, the marginalized, the widows, the orphans, the immigrants, or God, those that are jobless, that need food on the table. Lord, we ask that you provide. Allow it to rain down from heaven. God, for those of us that are here today, come and move in this service like only you can. Allow us to extend ourselves beyond these four walls. We know that we're called to do more. We're called for greater. And we can't do anything without you. So, Lord God, allow us to be the people of God you've called us to be and will be. So thankful during this season of Thanksgiving, God. Allow us to open our hearts and our minds to share, to give, to even forgive. Father God, be with this congregation, congregations all over.
Serve a generous and giving God. So don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the giving tab. Remember first as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text give to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're preaching from the 23rd Psalm all this month. So we'll hear a few verses from Psalm 23, and then we'll hear a few verses from Hebrews 12. We can believe in great things when we serve the Shepherd King. And that's what this psalm is all about. Hear these words from Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Amen. And now a word of encouragement from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you are. We thank you for being a shepherd, leading us, guiding us. We thank you for being an example in your living and in your dying. We thank you for being a cheerleader, a champion for us, cheering us on in this race that you set before us. And so this morning we pray, Coach, that this word encourages us, that this word coaches us, tells us what we need to run this Christian race that you have set before us. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart are acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, if I were to ask, what was the first Bible verse you learned by heart? Many people would answer the same. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Some of you would have learned it in Sunday school. Others would have recited it around the dinner table, maybe as grace before you ate your meal. And you would alternate, I heard a Jesus wept over here, in between Jesus wept and "The Lord is my shepherd," no matter how many other kids at the table had already said that verse. You can probably remember the child of God who taught you that Bible verse, hoping that it would forever guide you as a child of God. Today is All Saints Day in the life of the church, not a day to celebrate saints as in perfect people, right? But a day to celebrate those who committed their lives to striving for perfection. It's not a day to honor those who never stumbled or fell or failed God, but a day to honor those whose battle cry was, "We fall down, but we get up." Those who remember that the Bible tells us a righteous person may fall seven times, but get up every time. So it's a day to celebrate all of those who have fallen over and over and over and over and over and over again and still remember to turn to God to help them up over and over again. All Saints Day honors those who simply decided to make Jesus their choice. Those who decided that the Lord is their shepherd, and all those who live the life of sheep. dependent on a shepherd. You don't get to just do your thing your way, drink out of whatever waters you feel like, lay in whatever field you want to. People who choose to live dependent on the shepherd, people who choose to live owned, claimed, marked by the shepherd even. We learned in Bible study that in biblical times, the shepherds all had a little signature mark. They would cut the sheep's ear in a particular way so everyone would know that one is mine. As Christians, we have a similar mark, the shape of the cross, amen. And we don't necessarily have to wear it or tattoo it on us, but we're intended to be marked, for our hearts to be marked, our lives to be marked in a way that people will know God is looking at us saying, that's mine. So we're celebrating all those who choose to live like sheep, dependent on the shepherd, marked by the shepherd, in relationship with the shepherd. Today we celebrate those who taught us how to keep up with the flock, amen. How not to wander too far out of the fold, how to become leaders even, helping other sheep stay in step with the shepherd. And this day should also remind us that one day we will be counted among the saints. One day we will be in that great cloud of witnesses, honored as those who helped the children of God follow the ways of God. And according to the text that we just read, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All of those folks who taught us the faith are right here with us in worship, are always with us, cheering us on in this Christian race. So on this Sunday, we especially lift up those who passed from life to eternal life within the past year, since November, the first Sunday of November last year. In our congregation, we celebrate the life of Miss Annie Williams as a saint. And there may be others who you hold dear to you who passed this year. And so we want to pause so that you might name those folks that you may have lost in this past year. Who are those saints?
Granny Johnson.
Sadie Hamilton. Calvin Hall.
Willie Hubbard.
Aaron Allison.
Tony Jones.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the life of the saints. And now, friends, we're going to prepare to call the roll all of those who taught us to walk in the ways of God, who may be more recently deceased, who may have been gone for decades, but are still present in your heart. And as we turn our hearts to prayer, I invite you to thankfully recall all those names throughout your lives who have been witnesses of God's presence and power. Let's pray. We give you thanks, O God, for all the saints who ever worshiped you, whether in brush arbors or cathedrals, weathered wooden churches or crumbling cement meeting houses. We give you thanks for all those places where your name was lifted and adored. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise, manicured hands and hands stained with grease or soil, strong hands and those weakened with age, holy hands used as a wave offering across the land. We thank you, God, for hard-working saints, whether hard-headed or steel-booted, head-ragged or apron saints, blue-collared and three-piece suited saints. They left their mark on the earth for you, for us, for children to come. Thank you, God, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, O God, and bless us to learn to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. Let's take a moment to name the saints. You may call them out loud or call them in your hearts, and you know you don't have to worry if more than one voice is going up at a time. God can hear us all. Who are the saints that we celebrate this day?
Robert and Charlotte Smith. James and Lucas Holly. Reverend and Mrs. W.C. Daniel.
Allison and Fairley Bradley.
Dorothy Schenkel.
Martha Perry.
Robert Bull.
Linda Brown. Shana Johnson. Jean Johnson.
Cora Carter.
Annie Moss Deptow.
Joe Colvin. Melissa Pfeiffer. Merrill Walton. Are there names from the Zoom room? Amen. Awesome God, we give you thanks for those whom we have named before you. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness throughout the generations. Amen. Friends, thank you for your time in prayer. It's important for us to know who's in the room today with us as we walk through this scripture text. The text says, therefore, since we are surrounded by all these names we named, let us run the race that is set before us. I know that I can hear a sound coming down from that cloud of witnesses saying, I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I'm not tired yet. That great cloud of witnesses reminds us that we keep running, not because we feel like it, not because the race is always easy, not because the course is laid out just as we expect it to be, but we can keep running because of the faith of our ancestors, because we are surrounded, encircled, cheered on, as the Message translation says, by that great cloud of witnesses. Because of God's faithfulness to them, we can run. Because of God's faithfulness to them, we have inherited a great faith. And friends, this is not just a crowd. This is a great cloud of witnesses. What are they witnesses of? What is their testimony, church? That God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. That God's faithfulness is from generation to generation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by people who can testify about the goodness of our God, we are called to do the same. And so today we celebrate their legacies. We celebrate God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of God's people. I don't know the name of the relative in your family who picked everybody's kids up for church in the neighborhood or in the family, but usually there's one. I don't know who that is. I don't know who the neighbor is that disciplined the whole block, even if they wasn't your mama, whatever you said when your neck was rolling. I don't know who they are, but we lift those saints up today. I don't know the name of the Sunday school teacher that first taught you to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I do know that they are in that great cloud of witnesses if they have departed this life. I do know that they are cheering you on. I know that they are hopeful that God's steadfast love will steady you as you run on a little while longer. I do know that they are praying that you lay aside every weight. Wendy prayed this morning that if it's time to let something go, let it go. So they are praying that you would lay aside every weight. Throw off everything that hinders you. Throw off sin that so easily entangles you so that you may keep running. Friends, what is it you need to lay aside so you can focus on your race? I know some of us need to lay aside who did what to us and who never does what we need them to do. Some of us have to lay aside the apology that's not coming, the reward or recognition that you may never get for what you do. Some of us have to lay aside worrying about our grades so you can just study for the next test. And some of us need to lay aside the next test so you can just teach the lesson right now. It may be time to lay something aside, some habits, some ways of being that have hindered us. Maybe you need to simply go to bed on time so you could wake up on time, so you could have study time or time with the Lord. It could be that easy. Maybe you need to lay aside the busyness, just the phone down for an hour, 2 hours, so you could have more quiet time, more silence, more stillness in the presence of God. God is inviting us to lay aside, to throw off everything that hinders us so that we may run the race set before us. And the great cloud of witnesses is cheering us on. Their testimonies are our motivation to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint, to start running and never quit, as the Message translation of this passage says. They are cheering us on so that we might run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the word says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The key, y'all, is to run the race set before us. Not the race set before your neighbor, not the race set before your friend, not brother so-and-so's race, sister so-and-so's race. Friends, we spend so much time walking in our neighbor's shoes in all the wrong ways that we get comparison corns. We get spiritual bunions trying to wear someone else's shoes, trying to run their race. But God, who sees our end from the beginning, set a race before us. We got some old track stars in here. What happens if you are assigned to lane 3, but you run your whole race in lane 4? What happens? You disqualified. You lose the race. What happens if you on the 200 meter team, but you only run 100 of them meters? I just see Spencer, he posted his track picture this week, shaking his head, just shaking his head. That's not how it works. You're not running the race set before you. So we lose when we don't run the race that God set just for us. The key is to show up for our race and then be coached up by the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said, I'm leaving for you an advocate, a teacher who will teach you everything, remind you of all that I taught you. So we show up so then we can be coached up. That's why we worship. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we have some godly friends around us. And through this scripture, our coach tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And just think about all that he went through for you, the word says, all that he endured, and let that be the inspiration, the source of your own endurance, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart, verse 3 says. The coach gives us some more tips in verses 12 and 13. Basically, he says, this is meant to strengthen your weak arms, your weak knees, so that you won't be disabled, but you will be healed. You will be healed. Friends, how do we persevere? How do we keep from losing heart when we've been running and running and it doesn't seem like we're getting any closer to our goal. I'm glad you asked. We might simply take a hint from that very first verse that many of us were taught. We could just remember that the Lord is our shepherd. That means we're claimed by God. That means we can depend on God. That means we have a relationship with God. You'll see in your bulletin different translations of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I think it's that last one that really grabbed me. In Bible study, we talked about how you hear those different verses. And for many, it's that treasured, I shall not want, that we hold on to, the very first one we heard. But some others thought, it helps me sometimes to hear that contemporary understanding. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. I really love that last one, I shall not be in want. Because for me, I shall not want talks about what I'm supposed to do, a condition, a way that I am supposed to behave. But when I read, I shall not be in want, that ain't about me. That one is about God. That there's no circumstances, there's no scenario that God has imagined that leaves me lacking, that leaves me suffering, that leaves me without the things that I need. I shall not be in want because God has already taken care of it. Friends, what is God taking care of for us? First and foremost, our need for redemption, the need for salvation that we celebrate today at this table. I was drawn to this text for this month, thinking about that table that we'll prepare at the end of the month, because I don't know about your family, but we already texting about who's on mac and cheese and who's got the greens. We're already having that conversation. Who's baking the pound cake and who got apple pie? So we're already preparing the table and have been for weeks. So then I got to thinking about how God prepares the table for us each and every day. And salvation, redemption, forgiveness, those are some of the things that God has laid on the table for us. That need in and of itself was satisfied through Christ, who said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He didn't just say, I'm a shepherd. Friends, we have to learn first and foremost that not every shepherd is good. Right. Not every shepherd leads the sheep to fresh water, green pasture. Not everyone who wants us to follow them is worthy, trustworthy of being followed. Not everyone who wants our loyalty can refresh us, can restore our souls. Christ says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. They hear my voice, they listen to me, and they follow me. Friends, I wonder what you hear the good shepherd saying to you today. What is Christ reminding you of? What truth is God trying to amplify in your heart? I really do love you. You really are my beloved. You really are uniquely made, gifted just as I need you to be. Is that the truth you hear the good shepherd speaking of? What are the lies that the good shepherd is trying to hush in your heart? In this season of excess and abundance, in a season when advertisements are going to be trying to woo us and convince us of our wants, what do you hear the Lord saying? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. The text tells us we fix our eyes on Jesus so that we can see the world and see ourselves even as God sees us. And so the psalm reminds us that we are in the shepherd's care. It reminds us to fix our eyes on the Father's steadfast love, to fix our hearts on giving thanks. It reminds us that despite our wanderings and our failings, despite the things we hunger and thirst for even more than those quiet waters that He leads us to, despite all that, God is faithful to bring us home. God is faithful to supply daily bread. God is faithful to supply His own body as bread, because God's steadfast love endures. And this, friends, is what the great cloud of witnesses is saying as they cheer us on. You're okay. You have what you need. God never failed me. God will never fail you. It's so very different from the way that we cheer on a team or cheer on a player. You better run that ball. Come on, defense. We cheer by yelling and telling people what they need to do. But the great cloud of witnesses cheers by telling us what God can do. They cheer us on by telling us what God can do. Friends, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And that's why the text concludes by telling us to look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The literal translation is look away to Jesus. Look away to Jesus. Look away from your trials and your tribulations and look to the hills from where your help comes from. Look away from those feelings of helplessness and know that your help is coming from the Lord. Look away from your weeping and know that joy is coming in the morning. Look away from obstacles and look to the God who can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. Friends, when you are losing your breath in this race, that's where our God does God's best work. The great cloud of witnesses is gathered around us to say, God will do what God always does. Amen. God will open doors that no one can close. God will guide your feet while you run this race. God will make a way out of no way. God will provide. I hear God saying, I know you're tired. I know your faith muscles are fatigued. Yes, I remember that you cramped up last time. Yes, sometimes you do the thing I ask you not to do as you run your race. Sometimes you promise to do a thing and you fail to do that. I know that, as Paul said, when you would do good, evil is all around you. Temptation is all around you, running in lanes 3, 4, and 5 next to you. I know that the hurdles seem higher and higher, and you just don't trust your legs to make it over anymore. I know you don't trust you. But I do, God says. And so does that great cloud of witnesses cheering for you and reminding you of my steadfast love that endures forever. God says, I know you don't trust you, but I do. And I need you to trust me to lead you, to run with you, to provide for you, to be your shepherd. I know you don't even know what you need for this race, what kind of training you need to endure for this race. But trust me, my plan, my path are perfect. Not easy, God says, but perfect. So perfect that Jesus endured the cross. That was the perfect plan, so that you would not lose heart. So that your arms and legs might be strengthened, so that sin would not disable you, so that you might be healed. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses cheering us on, we have the power to look to Jesus, whose strength is not determined by our strength, but whose strength is perfected in our weakness. Therefore, we have the ability to trust God, who trusts us and is providing even now all that we need to run the race that is set before us. Therefore, friends, keep running. Keep running. Ignore the crowd. Be encouraged by the cloud, that great cloud of witnesses testifying of God's steadfast love. That great cloud of witnesses invites us to say our simple memory verse. They want us to believe that first verse. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall never be in want. We can trust that the Good Shepherd has us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.